Welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school, and today I'm joined in the podcast studio with Macaulay varsity football coach Ralph Potter. This is an exciting week as we play in the state championship game on Thursday night against Baylor. And Ralph, this is the fourth time in the last 5 years you've taken your team to the state finals. What's it take to get a team to that level of excellence? And to me, this is like, you know, getting to the SEC championship game. And our division is one of the toughest in all the country. And so for the last 5 years, we're in the state finals. How have you done that?
We have a great headmaster. It starts with the commitment from the administration, you know, to say, okay, we're going to be good at this, because it does require some effort and require some decisions to create a space for it to happen. And then you got to have great coaches, and we do. And we've had, you know, our staff has been together now for many years, and we know each other well, and we're efficient with what we do. We've got great support with Jersey DeMarco and his staff, and Richard Henderson and his staff. So all the parts are in place, and then we've managed to be able to have some great players come through our program, and that have really bought into what we do culturally, and they understand, you know, sort of the heartbeat of Macaulay. And it's been remarkable to see, because, you know, you have a lot of guys who are relatively new to the school, but they do buy into the idea of a brotherhood, of hard work, of not being flashy. You know, we're just going to kind of do what we have to do to win the game. And you know, there's a grittiness and a toughness to us. And it's been handed down from one class to the next. And it's been fun to see. Yeah.
You know, you talked about the word, you said program and culture and brotherhood. And as I think about what the program that we have here, it's a true program. It's not a 1 year team. I mean, sometimes you'll hear about schools that, you know, for a year or two they're kind of good, and then they're not. But I mean, you've really built a program, and to me, the program here reflects the culture of Macaulay. You talk about hard work and discipline and high standards and commitment to excellence and loving your brothers and serving each other. And as I see the team, I see those characteristics, and to me, that's, I think, when you get the culture of a place right, of a team, and you've really established that, you know, that culture. And we have a program of excellence. It's one of the best high school football programs in America. But to me, more than that, it's a reflection, and it's aligned with who we are as a school.
I think it is. You know, I think it is sort of an idealistic to say, but I do think that our guys have done well in being good citizens of the school, and trying to be a little microcosm of what we're trying to do as a school as a whole. And, you know, it's been really good to see. You know, when I came back 12 years ago, it took us a while to get it to that point. I do have to give a shout out to D'Angelo Hardy. I mean, we've had a lot of great players come through here, but, you know, I really do think to some degree that we restarted the culture with him. You know, I mean, it was he is a remarkable person, and I think that his ability level, but his personality and his commitment to all those things, was really extraordinary, and I think that's sort of where it started. I mean, I might make some people mad by saying that, but I do think it's possible, because, you know, a coach can only do so much, you know, and I'm, you know, even I'm 60 now, but back then when he was playing, I was in my mid 50s, and, you know, people say, well, how do you relate to kids today? And I don't, you know, it's like, I mean, I have nothing in common with them hardly. And hopefully by this point, I'm a whole lot smarter than them. And but the thing about it is, you got to have people like D'Angelo Hardy and the guys who have followed him, Quindarius Dunnigan, and, you know, people like that, Jordan Starling, and, you know, he had so many guys. I hate to start mentioning names because I want to leave people out, but what they did is they matured as they were here, and they took, you know, what the ideas and the principles of the program, and they translated it, you know, into their own vernacular and their own ways of saying things. And embodied, you know, those ideas. And I think that was, that's been the really, as an educator, that's really what you strive for. And it's been very gratifying to see.
Yeah. You mentioned D'Angelo Hardy. And one of the things I particularly appreciate about him, of course, he was our quarterback several years ago, and he played the season with a torn labrum. Mm-hmm. And I tore my labrum a few years ago. It was so excruciatingly painful. Yeah. And for him to be out there, you know, leading us to a state championship football game with a torn labrum that mm-hmm. people really didn't even know much about beyond, you know, mm-hmm. you and some other people on the team, really remarkable. I think speaks to the grittiness, the toughness, the tenacity that McCauley football teams have had. And there's a brotherhood. And to me, that even goes back to, you know, your dad when he mm-hmm. coached from 73 to 93, sort of establishing sort of the McCauley way in football. And I'd be curious if your dad were here, I know he'll be watching down on you, but if he were here today, what would he say to you about, you know, this week and playing Baylor for the first time for a state championship, that these two teams meeting, what would your dad think and say?
You better get ready, boy. But you know, it was funny when my dad, you know, we used to talk, obviously, because I wanted to be a coach and that sort of thing. And he always told me, he said, look, you know, you got to do your own thing. You know, you've got to, it's got to come from you. It can't come from me. And you can't do it the way you would think that I would do it. You know, so you have to run your own offense. You have to run your own defense. You have to adapt and all that sort of thing. But he said, you know, the thing that football ought to mean, you know, to the boys and to the school, really is, needs to be specific, and that needs not to change, you know. And so, you know, I have always tried to do that. I do think that he's the one who established that, you know, originally. And, you know, I hope that thread has carried on through the many changes that we've experienced over the years.
Yeah. Let's talk about changes. How are you a different coach than, you know, you coached McCauley to first state championship in 2001. Mm-hmm. You go in for your fifth state championship Thursday night. How have you adapted, evolved, changed as a coach?
Well, you know, from a scheme standpoint, it's completely different. You know, it's really very much different now. In fact, I went back about 2 or 3 weeks ago and watched that first state championship game, and it's like, man, that's really different. And I don't know if our guys are tough enough to run that kind of offense anymore, but, you know, and from a defensive standpoint too, it's changed, you know, from, I hope over the years that, you know, as far as me personally and how I coach, I mean, you mature, but I do have a personality, you know, and it's something that you always have to try to make work for you, but it is what it is, and you're sort of stuck with it. And so, you know, I've always been sort of a guy that's not very easy to play for. But hopefully my guys now will not believe this, but I'm probably easier now than I was back then. I've meddled a little bit. So
let's talk about Thursday night. What are some of the keys to the game for Big Blue to emerge with a victory Thursday night?
You know, that's a great question. You know, we had five lead changers in the first game. You know, they had 11 possessions and scored on, you know, four of them. We held them to a field goal when we got turnovers. They did not have a lot of luck stopping us consistently through the whole game. And so when you look at that, I mean, they obviously have great skill guys. I mean, they're unbelievable, you know, and the number of them is unbelievable. And their offensive line is good. And so from a defensive standpoint, you know, what you're trying to do is eliminate mistakes on your own that would give them something. And we gave them a couple things. And so we're trying not to do that. And then you're trying to figure out a way that you can you know, confuse them a little bit or try to gain an advantage where you can steal a possession, where you can get a turnover or something like that that can change the game. You know, offensively, I mean, we have to approach it like, all right, we've got to score every time. And so there's not going to be anything left in the in the trunk in terms of what we do. I mean, we have to score every time, and you have to approach it that way. And so, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, I really think, honestly, it's going to boil down to which offense makes the most mistakes, you know, because both offenses are very difficult to stop. And I think that that generally when they get stopped, it's because, you know, somebody misses a block or fumbles a snap or something like that that occurs. And so I think that we just have to make a little fewer mistakes than they do and try not to give them anything.
You know, Baylor-McCauley game, huge emotions, passion. How do you channel that in ways that are productive and enable the team to be at their best? I mean, it seems like emotions can, you know, it can be a really positive thing, but also can be a distraction or so forth. How do you sort of get your team emotionally prepared for this game?
Well, there's going to be ups and downs within the game. And there's going to be times in the game that it looks like we're not going to win. And there's going to be times in the game probably when it looks like we are. And you really just sort of have to prepare them for that by, you know, painting that picture for them and letting them know when, you know, when things are going really bad, it's really important not to lose your cool and not to get upset. But to really focus in on the next thing that you have to do. And alternatively, you got to know, I mean, if you get a 10-point lead on Baylor, that's nothing. So, I mean, it's not like you have arrived or anything like that. And so it's sort of the same thing that we tell them all week. And it's like the way that you handle the pressure, the way that you handle the emotion is you sink into the preparation. You know, so you think about the details of what's going on. So you watch film and you look at, you know, the formations or the stunts that they're running and you imagine yourself playing on Friday night and you imagine picking up a stunt. You imagine, you know, lining up in a formation and what call do you have to make in the secondary. And you just and that's what occupies your mind. And so the stuff that most people think about should never enter your mind. You know, it's like, you know, well, McCauley has this record at Findlay, or, you know, Baylor has this many yards rushing, or this guy's got this many offers, and he said this on social media, and it's like, that really should never enter your mind. I mean, you're in it. You're not outside of it. And so that's what we talk about when we say just, you know, focus on what you can do and spend your time thinking about that. And then the outcome, you know, will take care of itself, but you can't control it. You can only control what you do.
Well, it's obvious to me that your teams are always extraordinarily well prepared. It also strikes me from just from being on the sidelines and being around the team that they're very poised as well. They've got a lot of resilience and confidence and, you know, hopefully that will come through, but they should go into the game, I would think, feeling very well coached, very well prepared, and poised, and with the, you know, the confidence that, hey, through the ups and downs of a game, you know, we can win this thing. And talk about preparation for a second. So this past week, you know, so it will have been 13 days between your last game and the game Thursday night. Had Thanksgiving break in the middle of there as well. Sort of talk a little bit about how you've prepared them, just sort of schedule and so forth of these last couple of weeks.
Well, you know, over the years we've sort of developed a little bit of a system. So basically we, you know, right after the game against MBA, we started preparing for Baylor. And the coaches, you know, would work on Saturday and Sunday afternoon and get a really pretty much the game plan together at that point. And so Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, and Wednesday morning, we went out and practiced. And the schedule is a little bit different. It's a little shorter, you know, and we emphasized offense one day, you know, defense another day. But our goal was after Wednesday morning to have the guys pretty much knowing what we're going to do. And then the coaches, you know, we took a couple of days off over Thanksgiving, and Saturday afternoon we began working again and try to get an idea of, you know, what else do we need to do to refine things. And so on Sunday evening, we went out practicing in the cold rain, you know, and for us, that was about an hour and a half. It's a little shorter, but it was like our base stuff against their base stuff. And today, you know, we'll work more on specialized situations and things like that and look at our mistakes from yesterday. And then, you know, Tuesday we'll see where we are and work on what we need to. And then Wednesday will be, you know, very light practice and just a review.
Okay. You know, you played in this game as a Macaulay football player, as a quarterback. Obviously, your dad coached in this game. What does this game mean to you, and just a Baylor Macaulay game in general, but also to be playing, you know, state championship game, perhaps the biggest football game in Chattanooga history from a high school perspective, first time our these two schools have played for a state championship. What does it mean for you, and what are the emotions and thoughts for you?
Well, I mean, a part of it is people don't understand what a coach goes through, you know, based on his own personality. And I'm always terrified. I mean, I'm terrified of not being prepared, and I'm terrified of not, you know, playing well and things like that. And you know, that's good and bad. I'm probably hard to be around, but at the same time, it makes me try to. It's productive paranoia, you know, and so I don't really know. I mean, I take my own advice, so I don't really think about, you know, the magnitude of it. It's not like, oh boy, I'm really going to work hard now because this is a big game. It's not how we approach it. It's like I approach the MUS game in September, you know, in the same way, and it's. So, because I don't, you know, we try to max it out all the time, and we're not, you know, we do have times we can add reach for a little more, but you know, for me, the issue is make sure that the kids are focused, you know, because sometimes you're having to, you know, bring them up to the level that they should be emotionally, and some other times you're trying to. Make sure that they are focused and prepared, and that's probably one of these weeks. But you know, so it's not no different for me. It's like, you know, you have nightmares about, you know, I hate the thing that drives me is I cannot stand it when I get into a game, and most people probably wouldn't even know except me, but I feel like I didn't do something, I didn't see it. It's not that I, you know, it wouldn't have an effort, but I didn't see something that I should have seen. And so, you know, the whole time when you're trying to prepare is you're trying to look around those corners and try to see something that's there that I'm not going to regret not being observant enough. And so I've learned over the years, if something is bothering me, like there's this, like this vague thing about a particular issue within the game, I try not to ignore it, because, you know, that's where you're going to go dig for treasure right there. Cause that's probably going to come back to you. Cause you know, after 40 years, you get a pretty good instinct of what people are going to do. And so anyway, that's a long answer.
Yeah. Well, you hadn't missed much. I mean, you're mm-hmm. one of the winningest, you know, high school football coaches, not just in Tennessee, but in the South, and have a track record that's second to none. Really. And it's not just the, you know, the championships that we win. I mean, those are certainly fun, but really, you know, the way in which you and your fellow coaches, you know, build men of character and integrity and sportsmanship and hard work. And I love seeing, you know, the sort of men that our players are becoming. And that's because of the role models that you and the other coaches have been to them, and how you know, expect so much of them and, you know, love them well and demand a lot from them. And it's just a real, it's really fun to see that the growth. And of course it's fun to win as well. And hopefully Thursday night will be a big victory for the Big Blue. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, do so. There's a chance that all 20,000 tickets are going to sell out. I'd hate for anyone to, you know, show up at the game or try to get a ticket Wednesday or Thursday and not be able to get one. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a big night Thursday night. And Ralph, thanks for being here today. More importantly, thanks for all you do for Macaulay and for the men of Macaulay.
Thank you for your kind words.
Go Blue.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from you, our listeners, is what allows us to bring you these podcasts, and more importantly, to provide Macaulay students with a world-class education and to attract and retain the great teachers, coaches, and counselors that make Macaulay such a special place. Thanks for your support. And if you have comments on this podcast or any other of our growing number of podcasts, let us hear from you. Thanks for listening.